Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masechet Baba Batra Daf Kuf Samach Bet Amud Bet at the very, very bottom of the short Amud, continuing with our examination of possible violations of a shtar that render it invalid. We just dealt with the two lines that are blank between the Edim and the Ktav, between the signatures of the Edim and the text of the Shtar that render it invalid. Question is, first of all, what are the parameters of these two lines? Ibayalu Shneshitin She'amru. Hein Vaviran, O Hidoma Hein Velo Aviran. Does it include the margins above and below the lines, or just two lines themselves? Rachamar Yitzchak Mistabra Hein Vaviran. It must include margins, because remember before we said one line is okay. The Sagadai Tachein Velo Aviran. If the definition of a line here is just the line without the margin above, or below, shita achat below viral maichazia. What could you possibly do with one line such that you're saying it's okay? Shramina hein vaviran shramina must include the margins. Okay, Rabbi Shabtai Amar Mishmei Dechezkia, shnei shitin shamru b'ktavi de'edim v'lo ktavi de'sofer. We're talking here about the size of writing written by Edim as opposed to a sofer who writes much smaller. So we're talking about larger lines. My time, dechol hamazayif, lavagabi safra as a mazayif. Anybody who's going to forge isn't going to go to a sofer and pay him something to forge signatures. He'll either forge it himself or go to some other buddy of his and have him forge it. All right, navachama. Now, how much space? If you have the word lech on a top line, that means you've got a chaf coming down. So that means there's a line. Plus there's the space above it for the top of the lamed, plus there's the chaf going down for the space below, and then lacha on the line below it, there's another space above for the lamed and another space below. Alma kasavar shnei shitin v'arba avirin. So he must hold that it's two lines and four margin spaces. Chibar amim mishmeidu ulamar kagon lamed milamala v'chaf milamata. He has it a little bit less, a lamed on one line on top and a chaf directly underneath it. So it doesn't have to be directly underneath it. Alma kasavar shnei shitin u'shlosha avirin. So you're going to need three margins, which is the margin above for the lamed, the margin between the lines, and the margin below for the chaf below the chaf sofit. You could even have one line, but you have Baruch ben Levi, so you have a margin below for the chaf and a margin above for the lamed. Kasavar shita achat u'shnei avirin, which, as the Rishonim point out, must be bigger than regular, just two regular lines, because we just said anything less than two regular lines is okay. But this is already invalid, because you could forge a name or a line there. Okay, now, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan are going to disagree about what to do between the with space between the signatures of the Edim and the Asharta, which is the kiyum of the Beit Din. So you have a shtar, the Edim are signed, and then the Beit Din is mekayim the shtar once it's confirmed the Edim, and therefore you could already use the shtar for collection. That's called an asharta. So now, Amarav, lo shanu ela ben Edim l'ktav. The two lines invalidating is only between Edim and the ktav. Aval ben Edim l'asharta afilu tuva nami kosher. Even if you have a big space between the witnesses and the asharta, the shtar is kosher. Why? Why do we say that between Edim and Ktav two lines are no good or more? Because you might forge something and forge some signatures, and you forge something and the Edim's names are already there and you've added something on your own. You'll do the same thing. You've got a confirmed shtar, and you'll add your own stuff in. Why is that okay? The answer is the metayitle. Beit Din fills in, sort of like we do on a check by filling out the rest of the line with a line. They fill it in with dots, or they spill ink or something to blank out the area between where the Edim is signed and where they are masher. So when you have that cut there, or dots, spot there, or dots, so why don't they put a tiyut between the Edim and the shtar and solve that problem? The answer is Amri Sadi Atuta Huda Chatimah, because people will think that the Edim signed and whatever was written above that and it's been blotted out. So made Edim Ashartinami Amri Beit Din Atuta Huda Chatimah. So why don't we say the same thing that the Beit Din signed on the Tiyuta? And then you have the same problem. The answer is Beit Din on Tiyuta Lo Chatimah. Beit Din will not confirm something that has these dots on it. But if you grab two Edim to sign on something that's a little meaningless, they'll do. But here we have another problem. When you have the Asharta, what if the guy who's got the shtar then cuts off the top part of the shtar You've got a lot of empty space, it's filled with these dots, and then underneath the Yasharta, Umachik leilitiyuta v'chata maidibari machtim sadi. What he'll do is then erase the tiyuta, and he'll sign what he wants and put edim, and you've got an Asharta already sitting there. Rav himself already said that if a shtar comes with the text and the edim written on an erasure, it's kosher. So now, Rav Kana learned that last halacha in the name of Shmuel. Shaper, so it's fine. We don't have a contradiction within Rav. Rav, who said that between the edim and the asharta, you could have a large space, would not accept the idea that if a shtar came with the ketav and the edim on the erasure, it's kosher. And then Shmuel says that wouldn't allow the space. That's fine. El Rav Tavyumi, Demat Yilam Mishmeri Rav, but Rav Tavyumi learned that last halacha in the name of Rav, as we reported it. Michael and Meymar. Rav has a problem because Rav allows a shtar, according to Rav Tavyumi, Rav allows a shtar where the text and the edim are all on an erasure. And Rav also allows, based on what we just heard at the beginning of this piece, that a large space between the edim and the asharta, because there's a tiyuta there, so why can't the guy take that and then on his own erase the tiyuta, cut off the top part, and over the erasure write the edim, forged signatures, write the shtar, forged signatures of edim, and it's already got a kiyum. So the answer is the answer is that if that's the case, Rav holds that whenever you bring a shtar where the edim and the shtar itself are on an erasure, you don't rely on the Asharta. Because actually, for that reason, you have to mekayim the Edim again. That's Rav. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Loshanu Elamein Ha'edim Laktav. Rabbi Yochanan took the opposite position. He said the limit of two lines of blank is posel, is only between the Edim and Laktav. Aval ben Edim LaSharta Afilu Shitachat Pasul. He takes the opposite position. If you have blank space between the Edim and the Kiyum, even one line is posel. So, why do we say that's no good? The reason is that the fellow he'll have basically an asharta with one blank line above it. He could cut everything off above that, and then write on one line what he wants, and edim, and then he's got the asharta. Because he holds that if you have a shtar where the content of the shtar and the enim are all in one line, it's kosher. So why don't we say the same thing? Even one line should be no good. Because he could cut off whatever he wants, write one line right above the enim, and he's got enim signed already. Because he also holds that if you have all the ketav on one line and all the edim on other lines, then it's no good. The only time that a one-line shtar will be good is if everything's on the one line. But if you have one line of the entire shtar and then the edim under it, then it's pasul. So then he could do this. Again, in the case that we said is kosher, which is if there's one line between the ketav and the edim, he could cut off the top part. He could then write the shtar and add edim on that one line, forge them, and then say the other edim are there in order to be marba edim. I wouldn't have more edim, but my two main kosher edim are on top. The answer is that we don't rely on the edim that come on that same line. We rely on the edim that are below it, and that's who we're going to confirm it with. We don't confirm it with the edim that are below. We confirm it with the edim who are above, and then we'll find out that those are forged signatures. Okay, that's Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Now let's look back at Rav about the issue of a machak, of an erasure, writing on an erasure. Amar Rav, shtar haba huve dav al machak kasher. So Rav said that if a shtar has both the text and the edim on an erasure, then the shtar is kosher. Why aren't we concerned that the guy will then double erase? In other words, he'll erase, there's a shtar, he erases the whole shtar to save parchment, and then writes the shtar, has the edim sign, and then he goes back and erases the shtar itself and adds and changes the content to his favor, obviously. Why aren't we concerned about? The answer is, when you have a text, and this will be clarified later on, when you have a paper in which there's an erasure, but some of it was erased twice. When it's erased, written over, and then erased and written over, and the other part was only, that happened once, you could see the difference. So here's what he's going to do. When he first signs the shtar, he's got this whole thing planned. The edim will sign, and then he'll spill some ink on it. umachikle, and then he'll have to erase it. Dechehadar machikle lahai, and then on his own he'll erase the top part and add what he wants. Havilei idiv idin chakshtei pamim. Then everybody will see the star is a double erased star. Because what happens is the Edim will sign on a clean piece of parchment with a regular star. He'll then spill ink on the Edim's names. Oops. And then he'll erase it and have to sign again. Then on his own, he'll erase the top part and add whatever he wants. And then the whole star is a double erasure. So the answer is Edim will not sign on a machak unless it's nimchak in their presence, and they have to write that. As we'll see in a minute. We have the following challenge. If the text is on fresh paper or parchment, and the Edim are on the machak, it's kasher. So now watch what could happen. So he could get a star like that that's kasher, and then he could erase the top and put whatever he wants, and it'll all be erasure. In other words, we're saying that a one where the text is on niyar and the enim on the machak is kosher, he could do that and then go and erase the ktav and change it. The answer is, that they sign to that effect. They say, we signed on the machak and the star is on niyar. So if you see the whole thing's erased, you know that something's wrong. So the Chat V'Heicha, by the way, where do they write this line? Im in the Tachat, if they write it underneath the last signature, Gaizle, he'll cut it off. I Eloi, if they write it above, Machikle, he'll erase it, and you won't see it. The answer is the Chat V'Bein Sahad al Asahad. They write it between the lines of the Edim, where it's very hard to erase it and have it not be seen. And plus, there's to be a blank line there, it would be questionable. Hi'achi, Ema Seifa, Hu al Machak, Ve'dav al Niyar Pasul. But if that's the case, look at the Seif of that Breita. It says if the star is on the machak and the edim are on the niyar pasul, am I pasul? Achinami nichtavu achi. Why don't they just write anachna sahadi chatamna al niyar ushtar al machaka? We signed on blank and the star is on a machak. Why can't they write that? The answer is my amart mochik chozer mochik. We're concerned because the guy is going to double erase. Hamart eno doma nimchak pamachat nimchak shtei pamim. But you can't compare the two. When it's nimchak twice, the answer is that's only when part of it's been erased once and part of it's been erased twice. Then you could see the difference. So when they signed on clean stuff and he and the star was on a machak, he could go and double erase it, and you can't see the difference between a single erasure and double erasure when there's no context. So why don't you just bring another Megillah and write something and erase it and then compare the two and see if it looks like a one-time or two-time? The answer is, each parchment is different. Why don't we have the Edim sign in the Beitin for Limchok V'lidmi and then erase those names and see what it looks like? So Rav Shaya, Eino Doma, Nimchak Ben Yom, Nimchak Ben Shnei Yamim. It's not the same. If it's a fresh erasure, an older erasure, it looks different on parchment. So with the Shia, so let it sit around so that they're both older. So and this is probably coming on some of the earlier possibilities. We're concerned that a Beit Din might not be expert in all of these things and might make a mistake, so therefore we don't allow a case where the text is on a machak and the Edim are on Niyar. Right, to avoid these things. Okay, in the next podcast, we're going to pick it up and analyze when the Mishnah of Chinam Gamliel, who allowed a get makusha that had two edim, that had the edim on the inside, because you could make a pashut, what that means. We'll take a look at that in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.